It is time to go get your Bible and pull up a chair and turn up your radio and become a student in the Warren County Radio Bible School. And in this Bible school, we're studying a Sunday school lesson E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of August the 14th, 1927, about the time that David brought the Ark of the Covenant unto Jerusalem. Now, we were reading about that account in 1 Chronicles chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16. And we came to where they were marching along with the ark, and they were singing God's praises. And that song of praise is recorded in 1 Chronicles 16. In a moment, we're going to begin at 1 Chronicles 16 in verse 19 and read the latter part of that song and then the remainder of that chapter. So 1 Chronicles chapter 16, if you want to follow along. And then we'll go to Elam's Sunday school notes to see what we can learn about this event. Before I go there, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. So now let's get to our Bible reading. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning in verse 19. When you were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and sojourners in it, and when they went about from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, Touch not my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto Jehovah, all the earth. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous work among all the peoples. For great is Jehovah, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are idols. But Jehovah made the heavens. Honor the majesty. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are his place. Ascribe unto Jehovah, ye kindred of the peoples, ascribe unto Jehovah glory and strength. Ascribe unto Jehovah the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship Jehovah in holy array. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, Jehovah reigneth. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field exult, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing for joy before Jehovah, for he cometh to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks unto Jehovah, for he is good, for his loving kindness endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God, our salvation, and gather us together and deliver us from the nations to give thanks unto thy holy name and triumph in thy praise. Blessed be Jehovah, the God of Israel, from everlasting even to everlasting. And all the people said, Amen, and praised Jehovah. So he left there before the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah Asaph and his brethren to minister before the Ark continually, as every day's work required, and Obed-Edom with their brethren 68. Obed-Edom also the son of Jethunim, and Hosa to be doorkeepers, and Zadok the priest, and his brethren the priests before the tabernacle of Jehovah in the high place that was at Gibeon, to offer burnt offerings unto Jehovah upon the Ark, a burnt offering continually, morning and evening, even according to all that is written in the law of Jehovah, which he commanded to Israel. And with them Heman and Jeduthun and the rest that were chosen, who were mentioned by name, to give thanks to Jehovah, because his loving kindness endureth forever. And with them Heman and Jeduthun, with trumpets and cymbals for those that should sing aloud, with the instruments for the songs of God, and the sons of Jeduthun to be at the gate. And all the people departed, every man to his house, and David returned to bless the Lord. Well, that's the end of our reading. The reason there was so much rejoicing and so much attention given to the ark coming to Jerusalem is because of the importance of Jerusalem, and also because of the importance of the ark. You see, God put his mercy seat over that ark. They kept in that ark a copy of the law, but over that law they placed a mercy seat. And God would meet with man at the mercy seat. God meets us now where he records his name. And the name of Jesus alone is salvation, Acts 4:12 and Acts 10 and verse 43. We must believe on his name. In his name shall the Gentiles hope, Matthew 12:21. Repentance and remission of sins are preached in his name, Luke 2:47. We are baptized in his name, Acts 2:38. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Matthew 28:19. God's name is called upon his church in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. And we pray in Jesus Christ's name, John 14:13. All we do, in word or deed, must be done in his name, Colossians 3:17. We meet in his name, Matthew 18:20. We glorify God in the name Christian, 1 Peter 4:16. The high priest alone could go into the most holy place before the ark, and that only once a year. It is a very great and serious mistake to teach that the ark, the most holy place, and the holy place of the tabernacle or temple at Jerusalem have anything in common with our houses of worship now, or to impress any truth concerning such houses. Those who so teach have studied the Bible to little profit. The holy place of the tabernacle or temple typified the church or temple of God now. And God is now in his house, our temple, while the most holy place typified heaven. Well, the ark was moved from Kirjath-Jearim unto Jerusalem. The ark was placed in the house of Amminadab in Kirjath-Jearim after Saul had become a prophet, and before after Samuel had become a prophet, and before Saul was made king. It remained there during Saul's reign of 40 years, Acts 13 and verse 21. And during David's 7 years and 6 months reign at Hebron, and until he removed it to Jerusalem, it had been there a long time. And it came to pass from the day that the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after Jehovah, 1 Samuel 7 and verse 2. This probably refers to the time occupied by Samuel in reforming Israel. That is the time of the events of this. That is the time of the events of this chapter, and not the whole time the ark remained in the house of Amminadab, because Nob, not far from Jerusalem, is called the city of priests. And because David ate the showbread there when he fled from Saul, some had thought the tabernacle was there at the time. And so it seems that it would be. Still, it is nowhere recorded that the ark was ever removed from Kirjath-Jearim to Nob. If it was ever removed to Nob from Kirjath-Jearim, it was returned to this place before David could have thence removed it to Jerusalem. There's no record that the ark was ever returned to the tabernacle after Eli's wicked sons carried it out to battle from Shiloh. It is stated, too, that they sought it not in the days of Saul, 1 Chronicles 13 and verse 3. Hence, it was not at Nob. It must have remained them all the time in the house of Aminadab at Kirjath-Jearim. The tabernacle was removed at some time to Gibeon. Well, David prepared to remove the ark. 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 1. There we read that David again gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. Well, he consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds, even every leader, concerning the matter of removing the ark. If it seem good to you, and if it be of Jehovah our God, David was wise in consulting the leaders, and hence all Israel was loyal to God in not desiring to remove the ark of God, and if they should not approve it. All the priests from all the cities were invited to this gathering. And let us bring again the ark of God to us, for we sought it not in the days of Saul. So David assembled all Israel together from the Shihor, the brook of Egypt, even to the entrance of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim, from the southern extremity of the country to the northern extremity of the country. These people were gathered. This was an important event, and it was one that would help unite the nation. David made him houses in the city of David, and he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it, 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 1. But the first removing of the ark did not go so well. We're going to read in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 2 through 5. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, which is called by the name, even the name of Jehovah of hosts, that sitteth above the cherubim. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Aminadab that was in the hill. And Uzziah and Ahio, the sons of Aminadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was in the hill with the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark, and David and all the house of Israel prayed before Jehovah with all manner of instruments, made of fir wood, and with harps, and psalteries, and timbrels, and with castanets, and with cymbals. Well, David and all Israel went to Kirjath-Jearim. We're at Elam's notes now. They set the ark of God on a new cart. Isn't that interesting? They built a brand new cart just special for this purpose. They shouldn't have done that, as we will see. Well, they started with it on that new cart. The Philistines sent it home on a new cart when they had it, but they were heathen and not pretending to obey God and knew no better. God permitted them thus to send it back, but he smote the men of Beth-Shemesh with a great slaughter, because they looked at the Ark of the Covenant, looked into it. David, it seems to us, should have known better than to try to transport the Ark on a new cart, when God had given instruction for it to be transported by the priest. While it seems strange to us that David should have done this, it is stranger still that God's professed followers today, in the face of this example and others, will undertake to accomplish his purpose, not by his way and means, but like David, upon their own carts, their ways, their means. They have their own new carts for carrying out the work of the church. When the ark was made, God expressly said that it should be carried by hand, not hauled, and that only certain priests should carry it. The high priest and his sons were to wrap the ark in the veil of the screen first, and then a covering of sealskin, and then with a cloth of blue, and put staves by which it was carried. Thus were the tables and the ark of the incense and the golden candlesticks prepared for removing. Then the sons of Kohath came to bear it, but they were not to touch the sanctuary or the holy things, lest they die. They were not even to see it for a moment, lest they die. We'll continue this when we come back to class.